In other words, require a practical examination of boilermakers and steam fitters, which is not required right now. Have these persons demonstrate their skills. However, such a requirement may duplicate in part of the ASME boiler code requirement that welders and welding operators be certified. Entry requirements into the profession would also be made more stringent by an addition of that requirement. You could also choose to license boiler operators. Some states do this now. Our administrative rules require that the boilers be attended by persons familiar with the vessel and emergency procedures, and that they be fitted with certain safety devices, but the persons operating boilers are not at this time regulated. The Assembly has considered proposals to do this in the past. You may choose to make certain revisions in the current system. For example, you may choose to decrease the number of vessels inspected by increasing the minimum size of pressure vessels subject to the law from the present 1.5 cubic feet to 5, which would be consistent with the ASME code in most of the other states. You might also require inspections before renewing operating permits. This used to be our law, again, was taken out about 20 years ago, and many states do this. For example, Washington requires, or at least at that time required, that operating permits only be issued after an inspection. You could choose to clarify the role of the board. When we did our sunset review, we found that the board had little knowledge of the licensing function. Again, most were professional engineers who were involved in the construction of these vessels and had little knowledge of the ins and outs of regulating boilermakers and steam fitters. We found that board particularly well-suited for formulating rules regarding the operation of the boiler safety code, but ill-suited, again, for regulating the occupation, which were of the boilermakers and steam fitters. Along with that, you may...
Excuse me, Ken. Representative Scott,
did you consider that we might need two boards?
That's a possibility. I was just going to mention that you may, first of all, increase the size of this board by adding a boilermaker. Right now, the person who occupies that slot may either be a steam fitter or a boilermaker. At present, it was a steam fitter in 1981. There's a possibility of increasing the size of the board or creating a separate board. You could go either way if you chose to do that. That would, and some members of the building trades, the boiler and steam fitter trade, recommended that the board either be increased or that be done. There was also some confusion about the appeals procedures and some other housekeeping measures regarding perhaps disciplinary action against business licenses. As I mentioned earlier, there is no statutory authorization for the board to take any disciplinary action against a business. The board has recommended that it be given the authority to revoke licenses for just cause. And the last two recommendations or possibilities would be changing the sunset law to remove the inspection procedures from the sunset law. And finally, on the last page 60, we noticed in doing our sunset review that there was an occupation that was seemingly left out of the sunset review, which or sunset law in 1977, which is very similar to these occupations, and that are LPG tank installers, liquid petroleum gas, who install or licensed by the state fire marshal. These occupations have to be licensed by the state fire marshal, but they are not subject to sunset review. So you may wish to add those if you so desire. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions of the gentleman? Representative Campbell.
Well, I was just looking here, and part of the information that you have is it says Oregon and Connecticut are the only states that license boiler makers in the United States. There are some states that license steam fitters, is especially a license of the plumbing trade.
You have a lot of overlap with the plumbing trade in many states, whereas the subcategories of plumbers may, in fact, they have overlap in their own unions. Regarding some unions are a combination of steam fitters and plumbers in some locales, and many states do regulate plumbers in the whole and have subcategory licenses that would be similar to our steam fitter license that we have here.
Mr. Chair, do we have anything under the plumbing board now that that approaches the boilermaker steam fitter question?
Well, the difference is that these people are operating with pressurized pipe, and the persons who have a normal plumbing license, I don't believe, are qualified, or if they do get involved in pressurized pipe, they have to have this license. If they don't, then they don't have to have this license. That's the difference, is that we're getting into pressurized piping.
In fact, as I recall, the question of pressurized pipe came up when we were reviewing the plumber's board. Glenn, do you recall that?
It did come up.
did come up, didn't it?
That would also be another alternative. You might wish to combine these functions with the plumbing board. That's, as I say, in some states do have subcategories of their plumbing licenses that would cover these occupations.
I didn't see anybody come up out of their seat out there when you said that. I'm sure we'll hear, though.
I'm sure we will.
Ken, are you familiar with 2089?
Only briefly.
Okay, I'll ask someone else.
Perhaps someone from our Sunset, who staffed our Sunset Committee, or Representative Otter, who sat on the committee, could offer.
Because I'm curious about, I see that they are asking us to strike out the set fees here, and I can see nothing that establishes new fees. Are we being asked to allow the Department of Commerce to set those fees?
I think the last fee.
Am I not reading something in this bill? I've read it twice and still.
I'm not sure. I know that the last fee increase was just recently in the last two sessions. I think I have a fee schedule somewhere in our report that
speaks
to that.
Well, there's two pages where the fees have been for the various levels mm-hmm. of inspectors and were inspected. I just wanted to know if. That's a change from the old bill. I get a feeling that we might be being asked to allow the Department of Commerce just to do as they please, and I have a problem with that.
You may have to direct that question to the chief inspector or someone.
I will. Okay. Are there any further questions? Representative Shiprack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ken, to clarify one statement you made, you say the alteration, repair, and installation only are covered by the license.
That's the way the law reads.
But you said construction isn't, or that's a confusing term. Is that field or shop construction or both?
There is, in the field, my understanding was they were putting together a prefabricated boiler. In the shops, you're actually constructing the vessel from scratch, doing most of the welding.
Mm-hmm.
Our state, the law does require shop inspections, but the persons who are employed by a business constructing such a vessel do not have to have a license from the state as far as the construction of it. If they install it, someone else takes that vessel and then installs it out
in the field.
Then they would have to be licensed by our law. The business that would be doing that installation or buying that vessel or whatever and using it in their operations would have to be licensed, and their employees doing that construction.
It was a little,
but there is a quite a bit of gray area in that regard.
Yes,
I found it somewhat surprising that persons altering and repairing would be licensed, but not constructing. But that's the way the law reads, and
That's why we're here to really address it.
Thank you, Ken. Mr. Chairman,
Representative Otto.
Ken, but the person in the shop has to be a certified welder.
Correct. He has a bit, but that requirement is a national requirement by the ASME Boiler Code. We've adopted the ASME Boiler Code, so there is overlap.
Yeah.
But it's not the state license that
right. You
have to have by going through our boiler and pressure vessel section.
You still have to be a certified welder.
Exactly. There is some regulation. It's not a totally unregulated field in that regard, which is why we mentioned earlier that if this law were allowed to expire, you'd still have some level of regulation over these individuals.
Are there any further questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Campbell.
As we go through here, is 486.35 replace 486.15?
One second. I don't have a copy of the entire law before me. 486.35.
Are you on?
Well, you run all the way through 2089.
Okay, I see.
You'll find that 486.15 is removed.
Oh, 486.15.
486.35 is the new section. I'm just wondering.
Section 1 says that section is amended to read.
I think you'll have to address that question to council and ask how they drafted this bill.
I'd be interested as why they made that change.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
Yes.
Representative Zajon.
Ken, if you covered it, I apologize, but in the definition of on Section 7, page 4, of what the board can promulgate rules for, we are adding the language pressure piping. Could you help me understand what has occurred in modern times that now insist that pressure piping should be?
Pressure piping was added to our law I think I mentioned it in my legislative history, 77, I think. Let's see. And apparently, this is to catch up with that inclusion, though. Let's see if I can figure out when that was.
You don't believe it's a policy change that is added regulation in
I don't believe it is.
Particular area?
No, that because they were added, let me see if I can find it. Pressure piping.
Chairman?
Yes.
1973, pressure piping was added by Chapter 830, Oregon Laws, 1973, was subject only to inspection at the time of installation. The law stipulated that after that installation, piping was not considered to be part of the boiler, and maybe this is, I haven't read this particular provision, but maybe that is changing that, the direction of that that particular statute that was adopted at that time, so that you'd also inspect now after mm-hmm. time of inspection to require
inspection. Well, that's what that would do by allowing that to be part of the definition. I'm sure other people are here that can mm-hmm. help me understand that.
Representative Bono.
Mr. Chairman, I think probably some of the members of the board, of the committee are not familiar with pressure piping and boilers and all, and I'm saying this in all seriousness, it might be time for show and tell to have Greg the Block get up there and draw a picture of a boiler and show what pressure piping is and all.
The pressure piping is what basically conducts the steam that's generated by the boiler yeah. to its, you know, the areas where it's used, and in many cases along the way, it's the valves controlling the flow of that steam or whatever, and these pipes are under as much pressure perhaps as the boilers and can also explode if they're not inspected regularly. As I say, the law when it was adopted was only required inspection at the time of construction. Yep. And
Representative Bauder, we have a witness who needs to leave right away, so we're going to call him first. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Jim Thompson, Georgia Pacific. Would you gentlemen please identify yourselves for our record?
Yeah. My name is Jim Thompson.
Oh.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Dick Schwartz, and committee representative.
Who are you with, Dick?
Myself right now, I had been with Georgia Pacific for a number of years in their corporate insurance and boiler machinery inspection and insurance.
You're appearing with Mr. Thompson for Georgia Pacific, are you?
In a sense, yes.
Did you know he was going to be here?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Well, I'll continue.
Oh, no.
My name is Jim Thompson. I'm the general manager of the Georgia Pacific Corporation paper operation in Toledo, Oregon. And you've met Mr. Schwartz. Before getting into the paper production business, I was a steam engineer responsible for the operation and maintenance of steam and power generating facilities, both marine and stationary installations, for 20 years. At the onset, I would wish to point out that the existing language contained in House Bill 2089 has proven satisfactory in Oregon and has served industry in our state very well over the past years. The language changes, as proposed, would place a serious financial and administrative burden on industry. The following language changes are, in my opinion, detrimental to industries such as the paper operation in Toledo. Section 3, ORS 48515, page 2, lines 6 to 14, power and pressure piping. The inclusion of pressure piping in the boiler code is so broad that it is impossible to get your arms around it. As you know, there are literally hundreds of miles of process piping in a paper manufacturing operation, water, pulp, air, steam, to name a few. To date, we have been operating under the Power Piping Code B31-1 on high-pressure steam and hot water lines. Our concerns relate to the plant's process systems, pulp, cold water, process fluids, etc., since these require constant maintenance and replacement of sections or parts. If systems such as these where little hazard exists are to be regulated in the same fashion as the high pressure systems. This will create an administrative nightmare, prolong equipment downtime, and reduce the plant's ability to use in-house craftsmen to a serious degree. All in all, a costly process. We strongly believe process piping should be exempt from the stringent requirements of B31.1. Section 6, ORS 48530, page 3, line 26. Deletion of the Department of Commerce. The deletion of the Department of Commerce is participation throughout the sections of the Act. This language removes a fundamental need in any business or governmental decision-making process, in my view, of providing checks and balances before action is taken. This is especially true now with the proposed composition of the board. Section 7, ORS 480-535, page 4, line 9, Board of Boiler Rules. The changes proposed, reducing the number of board members from 8 to 7, including 2 new members from organized labor and 1 public person. In my judgment, reducing the number of board members from 8 to 7 could promote the passage of rule changes in absentia. Further, the inclusion of 2 more members from organized labor could result in a total of 3 on the board. My feeling is that persons serving on a board should be knowledgeable in the manufacture, design, and operation of boilers and related equipment. The existing language covers specific areas of experience required by each member to qualify as a candidate for the board. You must understand my concern. The changes proposed in the composition of the board will seriously, if not totally, destroy the technical balance essential for the board to work effectively. Section 17, item 4, page 9, line 9. No permit issued for an insured boiler, etc. In the case of changing insurance carriers, and there happens to be a lapse time between contracts, even though the original permit for the unit had not expired and the required inspection had been made, the permit becomes invalid. This is unreasonable. The unit had not deteriorated or become less safe because there is no insurance coverage of record. This could be an expensive item and could generate additional downtime of production equipment, as well as the need to pay for additional permits. Sections 22 through 28, violations and civil penalties of users of boilers. In substance, we are in agreement with these concepts. However, when operating people are made aware of an unsafe condition, which is a violation, and attempt to respond to this in a timely way, they should not be subject to the application of penalties. At this point, I wish to strongly emphasize that responsible industry does not operate any component in their production process which represents a clear and present danger to life and limb. Anything contrary to this does not make good business sense. Our safety record will confirm this. Further, I can assure you that my superiors would take a very serious view of my performance if I ignored this basic business fundamental of safe, reliable operation. We have operated under the existing boiler law for many years. We understand it and can work with it. We believe it promoted safety while not hampering industry's ability to function. Thank you.
Any members, any questions for Mr. Thompson? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I'm very disappointed.
Me too.
Walked away and never said a word.
I didn't ask him because I wanted to see what's going to happen.
I just wanted to see
if you had a question. I see. Okay.
How the hell did I miss that?
Essentially, now I understand.
Chuck Wallers?
Mr. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm the Chief Boiler Inspector for the State of Oregon. As you're probably aware, the boiler section is responsible for routine annual, biannual, and five-year inspections of operating boilers and pressure vessels within the state. The reason for the differing inspection periods is due to the objects, boiler pressure vessels, exposure to the public, and differing type of service the objects are subject to. Inspections are segregated into two main categories, internal inspections and external. Internal inspections consist of draining the object and inspecting the internal surfaces for deterioration of broken parts. External inspections consist of checking the object safety controls and related appurtenances in the vessel proper. With both inspections serve as a vital record or index to ensure that abnormal conditions are discovered prior to a mishap of the object. The section is also responsible for inspection services to manufacturers that construct boilers, pressure vessels, power piping, nuclear parts, items, components in Oregon. The boiler section also enforces licensing requirements for businesses that install, alter, or repair boilers, pressure vessels, power piping, and regulates and certifies boiler makers and steam fitter mechanics. This certification requires that the mechanic to have at least 4 years' experience in the appropriate trade and pass a written exam that is promulgated and administered by the section. The boiler section collects fees from operating permits, which are statutorily fixed, installation, repair, or alteration permits, which are also statutorily fixed, business license, employee certifications, which are the boilermakers or steam fitter, and the business, which are statutorily fixed, and special inspection fees for welding tests, manufacturer shop inspections, and hydrostatic testing. And these fees are fixed by rule. The present time, the operating permit, business license, and employee certification under the law are fixed fees. The remaining fees are established by board boiler rules by rule, which is statutorily granted. The boiler section has 8 inspectors employees, 6 of which are field inspectors, 1 full-time inspector who performs manufacturing inspections for the nuclear and non-nuclear manufacturers, plus 4 clerical staff members, one of which is administrative assistants, and of course, 1 chief boiler inspector. The boiler section performs approximately 10,000 routine boiler and pressure vessel inspections per year and spends approximately 1,600 hours per year in the manufacturing shops in the non-nuclear industry and performs 600 hours per year in the nuclear manufacturing shops. When circumstances arise that require additional inspection services from the manufacturer, a field inspector will be assigned to cover the carryover. Since all inspectors are qualified to perform these types of inspections for the non-nuclear shops, and the section has 3 qualified inspectors for the nuclear industry. The boiler section is responsible for inspection of 16,200 boilers and pressure vessels operating in Oregon, and the insurance industry is responsible for 26,500 objects. Due to the differing inspection and frequency requirements, not all objects are due for inspections in one given year. Now that you have a basic overview of the boiler section's activities, I would like to address a few items in the proposed House Bill 2089. The first item is under 485.15, subsection 9. This term is the definition of for pressure piping. The term itself only clarifies the existing statutory language used throughout the boiler and pressure vessel law. But if it's not limited to piping systems that operate under 15-pound steam and water under 160 pounds, this term could be expanded into refrigeration piping, chemical piping, gas transmission piping, slurry piping, and LP gas piping, due to the broad interpretation of the term as used in the industry. The term power piping denotes piping systems used on high-pressure boiler systems that operate above 15-pound steam and 160 pounds water. You should be aware that other sections under the control of the Department of Commerce already have requirements for these added systems, for example, the mechanical code, the structural, and the fire marshal. The next item of concern under 485.35 is makeup of the Board of Boiler Rules. It is felt that a great disservice to the public safety will be implemented if the professional expertise is not specified in the board's makeup. Public safety demands a high level of technical and professional expertise on this board, and I believe that the technical makeup of the board should remain in effect as specified in the current statute. The final item under Section 20H, which deals with red tagging of a boiler or pressure vessel that fails to meet current safety standards. To be understood that in most cases when an appurtenance is red tagged on a boiler, the object will have to be taken off the line to repair the appurtenance. I do agree if the appurtenance's condition is hazardous to health and safety, that the unit should be repaired immediately. And in fact, the inspector must require the unit to be shut down and the appurtenance repaired prior to further operation of the unit. But in the same context, if the unit must be removed from service, the department must be notified of the inspector's requirement immediately. For your general information, I have attached some statistics of boiler and pressure vessel and power piping mishaps. I have not received those statistics from the National Board of Boiler and Pressure Vessel Inspectors at this time because as of last week, I was notified.
Is that unusual?
No, sir.
Okay.
We would like to, in the proposal, under House Bill 2089, under Section 48570, and this is the authority of the special inspector. Under the present law, the special inspector is only allowed to inspect what he insures or about to insure. This eliminates the inspector for performing manufacturing shop inspections in shops in Oregon unless the inspector knows where the object is going. If it's coming into Oregon, he can go ahead and sign the inspection report if he insures it. If he does not insure it, he cannot sign the manufacturer's data report. And the language that is proposed, I don't think, Mr. Chairman, I need to read it. It's basically what's in the statute.
Well, we're going to, let me say, Chuck, we're going to run all the proposed amendments that, and there'll be others, past legislative council, because I think what we're going to get into this committee today is going to have to be sorted out by legislative council.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Zajon.
Yes, Chuck, could I ask a couple of questions? I'm not a resident expert, so I need to inquire. on this piping question, you state that the power piping denotes piping systems used in high-pressure systems that operate at 15 PSI steam and 160 F water.
Well, it should be pressure water pressure, 160
okay,
pounds.
Since that standard is not in law, is that standard come from a national association that's given or?
Under the present statute, we adopt ANSI B31.1,
okay.
Which is the power piping code.
Okay, so if that standard changes, it will be flexible according to the national models rather than the changes in law. We just ask you to adopt those national models.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We've heard from Mr. Thompson his concern that pressured piping will cause undue concern. Could you respond and help us understand your view of that?
Well, the ANSI documents, the B31 series, from B31.9, from B31.1 through 10, is all piping codes. It's like I've mentioned, refrigeration, gas transmission. The particular documents that are related to boilers and pressure vessels are only in the ANSI B31.1 and the B31.9 documents. Those limit 31.1 in high pressure and 31.9 in low pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And we adopt the boiler requirements for both low and high pressure boilers. The other documents, see, the definition of pressure piping has a broad impact on the industry itself. You know, when you say pressure piping code and you give a definition, you have encompassed all of the B31 series. And what we have done in the past, in 1973 when we adopted B31.1, was we specified to the power piping code.
And we understand what we have before us in 2089 is that we'll no longer specify as we have in the past, we'll adopt all. Is that correct?
In 9, the definition of pressure piping could be expanded into other systems. By the wording of it. And that's the wording out of the scope of the code, but it's out of the introduction of the individual codes, but in the scope where it becomes specific on the requirement.
The board under Section 9 could expand that definition under the way House Bill 2089 is written.
They could expand it.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is an expert opinion of whether we need to be concerned about that at health and safety. You've said that We haven't adopted all of it. We have some of it.
Well, the reason that this whole pressure piping issue first surfaced was back in 1981 when the Board of Boiler Rules was reviewing the rules and I was reviewing the code book, and there was a misquotation in the code which threw low pressure piping into the power boiler book, mm-hmm. which there was no requirements for. And we seeked a clarification from the ASME, and they told us that in a formal interpretation that they were going to adopt or formulate a piping requirement for low pressure hot water heating and steam piping. And the board by action adopted a temporary rule to cover that, and ASME and their time schedule didn't make it before our rule expired. And now that we have the document.
You mean the broadening of the rules for a pressure pipe was an accident?
No. No.
Okay.
The broadening of the pressure piping term.
Okay.
The pressure piping term should have been regulated.